Coming up on Chasing the Natty, week 9 of the 2025 college football season is over, and we are jumping right into business today. We're going to get right to it and provide you guys the players who are left on the waiver wire as you continue to fight for your playoff spots in your leagues. All of that and more coming right after this.
Sellers picks his way to the right and is tripped up, reaching for the end zone. Touchdown! What a start! Give it to Reed, and there he goes! Nobody's going to catch him! Touchdown! It's caught! Jeremiah Smith! Touchdown, Ohio State! The legend grows!
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast.
All right, welcome in, everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. Hope you guys are having a wonderful time at your job on this Monday morning. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus to Canton Podcast Network. You can find us in all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday morning and Tuesday night during the season. If you want to support the great work we do here, head on over to campuscanton.com. Subscribe there with any of our phenomenal tiers. We got content ranging on all sorts of college football games, whether it is CFF, Devy, C2C, College DFS, Underdog Best Ball. If you play it, then we've got content, whether that's tools, rankings, pretty much everything you need to succeed. In fact, right now, if you want to support the show even further, make sure when you sign up for one of our yearly membership tiers, you use the promo code Natty, N-A-T-T-Y, to get 10% off your yearly membership. Again, that is promo code Natty, N-A-T-T-Y. If you can't do that, totally fine. You can just show us some love by leaving a like, a comment, a subscribe on the YouTube side of things. If you're on the podcast side of things, just leave a 5-star review. Make sure you're following the show. Not only does that show us support, but also shows the entire game of college fantasy a ton of support. If you have any further questions or want to get in touch for whatever reason, you can find me in the show on Twitter. I'm at CFF underscore Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty. Y'all, I cannot believe that there is only 5 weeks left in this season already. I was kind of doing the math yesterday where I was like, all right, there's 5 weeks left. We're just under 2/3 of the way through the season already. Again, this stuff flies by every single year. And yeah, I know it's cliche to say that, but I don't... Like, obviously, it probably flies by for you guys, but when you're a content creator, especially, like, when you're just, like, it's one thing to play college fantasy. It's another thing to have to, like, constantly do this research and, like, do show prep and stuff like that. Let me tell you, like, August, September, October, November, like, it flies by for me every single year because it feels like I never get a moment's rest. But it's fine because I help you guys out and I do very much enjoy doing this. Even with some hiccups along the way, like I had yesterday, obviously, if you're listening to this, you realize that this show is not available to you this morning at 6 a.m. like I normally have it. And that is because, for those of you that don't know, in Georgia, we have our governors, we have our elections, all that. That's all great and everything. But we have a very specific extra overlord that lords over us all, and that is it goes by the name of Georgia Power. And boy, when Georgia Power messes up, it can throw off your whole day, and that's exactly what happened to me yesterday. I lost power in my house for several hours, and it was not a widespread outage at all. In fact, it was just a very isolated outage that just was right on top of my neighborhood and a couple of neighborhoods surrounding us. And so we were unfortunately, I was just crap out of luck. I was hoping they would get it done faster. They did not. And then by the time I got done doing show prep last night, it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I just looked at myself in literally, like, I'm staring into my webcam right now. I was looking at myself and I said, I just can't record a show right now. I am too dang tired, unfortunately. So here I am recording a little late. This should be out to you guys easily by lunch on Monday. So hope that isn't too late for you guys. I know a lot of you guys start running waivers a little earlier this portion of the season because of the Sun Belt and Maction games starting up around this time. But yeah, with all that being said, I can stop blathering. We can get right to it. I don't think there's really much else to say. You guys know the drill at this point. I will throw another. I mentioned last week we're not doing the waiver wire traps the rest of the season. Because again, you guys pretty much know the drill right by now. You guys know what to kind of look for. And then we're also not doing the freakout scale this week, not because we're getting rid of it for the season. I will bring it back in future episodes. It's just before I started recording, I realized I never actually put out a message to the NIL channel over at campusdecanton.com, which is where I asked people for their opinions on who should be on the freakout scale this week. And I realized it was just far too late, and we're just going to have to skip it for this week. So the good news is, for you guys who just want waiver picks and everything, we're going to get right to it. So before we get to it, I will say, again, you guys know me, I kind of like to provide just a little bit of overview, kind of what to expect this week at the different positions. The quarterbacks, as I've said for a couple weeks now, the usual suspects are back. You'll see a lot of familiar names in the honorable mentions. But there were a couple, G5 guys in particular who are kind of popping up late that I admittedly just did not give enough credit for. And so we'll be talking about those guys at running back. I'm sorry, it just continues to be a tough scene. There's just really not a ton of guys to grab out there. If there are, I've probably already talked about them on this show. And so again, we'll actually be starting with honorable mentions for that today before getting into some new names. And then a wide receiver continues to prove that that's a position where you're going to likely see late season breakouts here, because there are some late rising folks that I think can definitely help boost your room if that is where you're struggling heading into the playoffs. So with that being said, again, let's stop blathering. Let's get to it. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Let's start with Mr. Cameron Brown, quarterback out of Georgia State, rostered on 4% of leagues this past week. He went 19 for 33, 241 yards, and 4 touchdowns through the air. He also had 10 rushing attempts for 67 yards and 0 touchdowns. And again, he is rostered on 4% of leagues. I think I said that already, but this is what happens when I'm recording early in the morning. Brown was a guy I was considering putting on the show last week, but I ended up not doing so. And shout out to Santi in our Campus of Canton Discord. He reached out to me in the NIL channel, and he asked me, because I did say, like, hey, waiver wire traps, if you got a guy you're questioning about, let me know. And he put Cameron Brown out there, and he's like, why was it Cameron Brown on the waiver show this week? I kind of like him. And I said, yeah, I like him too. Again, the two performances he had before that point, 33 fantasy points, right? It was looking pretty good. But the thing I noted was that Georgia State hadn't really scored a whole bunch. Like, I think their highest score was 24 points. And so I was hesitant to put him on here just because of that. Well, they went and scored 31 this past week. Could have scored 38 if it weren't for a late game interception here from Brown. But, yeah. So, again, a little history on Brown. He's a former three-star quarterback from Texas Tech. Transferred to Georgia State this past season. He is a redshirt freshman. So, again, great dynasty pickup here, I would say. 3 weeks ago, he got his shot to start when, shocker, starting TJ Finley did not work out for a team. And, you know, like I said, against App State, Georgia Southern put up some really solid fantasy performances there. That's obviously good, but again, I was afraid that that was kind of a fluke, right? There was kind of some alarm bells going off in my head. I mentioned the fact that, you know, Georgia State's offense, 24 points they scored against Georgia Southern, was a season high against FBS opponents to this point. I also noted that Brown, of the 6 touchdowns that Georgia State scored against App State and Georgia Southern, Brown accounted for 5 of them, and I just wasn't really sure that that was sustainable. So again, when I looked at it, I was like, am I really prepared to rely on a quarterback that seems kind of locked into a ceiling of 2 or 3 touchdowns any given week? Wasn't quite sure about that. And then, like I said, they shut me up this past week. They put up 31 points against Southern Alabama. And Brown put together yet another great fantasy performance here, 32.34 fantasy points in four-point passing touchdown leagues. And I kind of thought about the touchdown rate thing a little bit more, and I think it's gonna have to subside for now. Like, the Panthers just straight up don't have a running back anyone on defense fears, and Brown himself can run pretty well. Like, he's had 187 yards rushing in the last 2 weeks combined. That's a recipe. There's a recipe, in my opinion, brewing for Brown to score 80%+ of the touchdowns that Georgia State has going forward. And if their offense continues to improve under Brown, that could end up being really, really good down the stretch. So I think he's great. I do think it'll help immensely that the next two matchups for Georgia State, once they're done after this bye week, they're against Coastal Carolina and Marshall. Both of these teams are giving up 250+ passing yards in every single game. They're giving up 150+ on the ground. If Brown's game isn't figured out by then, by defensive coordinators, because again, I do think there's a little bit of an air of, like, he's a new he's a new factor that defensive coordinators have to figure out, and so he's getting the benefit because of that. But if he continues to kind of show out, those two games could be phenomenal for him, especially right before you get to your playoffs in your league. So yeah, I'm heavily recommending Cameron Brown this week. I think he could end up being a big quarterback grab this late in the season. Let's move on to my second quarterback. It's another G5 quarterback. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been underestimating some of these guys, and Evan Simon of Temple is definitely one of them. And I'll be honest with you all, this has everything to do with me and having an inherent bias against Temple players and this squad, because my preseason expectations was that they just wouldn't be any good and that it won't matter because the system sucks. I love Casey Keeler as a coach, but in terms of CFF wise, he's not one to target one receiver heavily, not really one to rely on a single rely on a single running back. Quarterbacks are kind of hit or miss for him. And so, yeah, shame on me for doubting Casey Keeler and what he can do in year one. And I'll be making amends for that today by highlighting not one, but three Temple players today. So again, God bless Temple for helping me out with the waiver show today, just providing three good options going forward. But let's focus on Simon today. Let's focus on Simon here. Simon has been the core of this offense since beating out Javonte McCoy in fall camp. Side note, can we stop with the Javonte McCoy hype every single offseason? I feel like that ship sailed. Anyway, so far, Simon's thrown for 1,600 yards, 21 touchdowns through 8 games, so that's obviously very solid. And he only seems to be getting better by the week. He recently put up 3 25 fantasy point performances in a row. He doesn't rush a ton, but he is remarkably consistent the last couple of games. He's finished with 5 to 6 rushing attempts for 15 to 20 yards and 0 to 1 touchdowns in each of his last 3 games. Obviously, I don't expect it to be as consistent moving forward, but it is something to note that they seem to have a pretty good idea of how much they want to run him. Their upcoming schedule, things do kind of get a little bit tougher for Simon and just all the Temple players we'll talk about here today, next couple of weeks. But it's still pretty manageable, right? They'll be facing East Carolina, who's 78th versus the pass. They'll have Army, who's not only 51st against the pass, but also loves to drag teams down to very low-scoring mudfests. So obviously a little bit of concern there. But I'm gonna choose to trust Keeler and Simon that they're going to be able to provide a very consistent performance against those teams. That's just the kind of coach that Keeler's been throughout a good chunk of his career, and I think they'll be able to maintain their 30-point-per-game average on offense. And if they're able to do that, that's plenty enough for Simon, at the very least, to be a solid bye-week substitute. So, yeah, I would say Simon's worth a pickup here as well. Third quarterback we'll discuss here today is my third G5 quarterback of today, and that is Dwayne Lunch Winfield over at Louisiana Lafayette. There at 5% roster ship this past week, he went 12 for 22 for 187 yards and a touchdown. He also ran the ball 23 times for 139 yards. Yeah, Lunch has been great. Not elite by any stretch, right? He's got, you know, fantasy performances of 20 points, 20 points, 25 points. But especially right now, as Mike Bainbridge points out on Twitter, people thought buys were bad last week. They're even worse this week. We got something 33 teams on buy this week. In week 11, we're going to have another 34 teams on buy in week 11. So you're going to have to be looking out for these guys. And if you can grab a guy like Winfield that seems pretty set on being able to provide you 20, 25 points just to get you through the week, I don't think you can be that upset about it, especially since this is a dude that is able to provide a ton of rushing floor, right? Again, 15 rush attempts 3 weeks ago, 19 rush attempts 2 weeks ago, this past week, 23 rush attempts. It is very clear they are willing to let him run the ball, and he has had 95-plus rushing yards in each of his last 2 games. The touchdowns are definitely a little worrisome. He's had 4 touchdowns in 3 games the last couple of weeks. You definitely want to see that uptick a little bit. The good news is that he will be facing some defenses here in the next couple of weeks that I do think he will be able to take advantage of. He's got South Alabama this week. They're 24th versus the pass. That's fine. Winfield wasn't very good at passing anyway. They are 120th versus the run. So Winfield, I think, should definitely be able to once again put it in a solid rushing performance against South Alabama. And then Texas State is the next week afterwards. They have become a goldmine for CFF performances this year. They get into shootouts, it feels like, every single week. And whichever team they're facing gets the benefit from that. And it all has to do with their defense. They're 115th versus the pass, 94th versus the run. Winfield, I think, should be in real, real good shape to be a solid pickup, especially for week 11 there, to slide into your starting lineup if your stud quarterback is out for the week. So, yeah, those are my three highlighted quarterbacks for this week. Again, sorry for those of you who are Power 4 only. Again, there's just not really a lot of great options out there, at least not in terms of me being able to feature them. Although a couple of them here in our honorable mentions, we can start with, he's not on the graphic, but that's my mistake. But Bear Bachmeier, still 30% rostered, so you can still go ahead and grab him out there in about 70% of leagues. He's been very solid. Another great performance against Iowa State this past week with 31 fantasy points there. Alonzo Barnett, we talked about last week, definitely worth a shout out. He just put up a near 60-point performance against Old Dominion the week before. Obviously, I don't expect him to do that anymore, but the good news is, as I mentioned before, Texas State's on deck. That should be a relative shootout between them and James Madison, so I think Barnett will get a pretty good bump this week. Brock Lowry, unfortunately, finally had a sub-20-point performance this past week against Miami of Ohio, but it also makes sense. Miami of Ohio is one of the stingier defenses in the MAC, so I can't say I'm too surprised that he fell short of expectations there a little bit, but he did have 20 rush attempts, so you continue to see him have that solid rushing floor every single week. He's got Central Michigan, who is in the 80s versus the pass and the run, so he should be back to form this week. Nick Minicucci, dude just finds ways to score fantasy points every single week. This past week, another solid performance against Middle Tennessee, 276 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Didn't get his normal rushing. That's kind of been something a little worrying for Minicucci. Managers recently is the fact that his rushing seems to have fallen off a lot. They're just not running him nearly as much anymore. I think that'll have to change this week, though, because they got Liberty, who's 14th versus the pass, but 111th versus the run. It would make sense that using Minicucci's legs a little bit more in this upcoming matchup would be good. He's still available in 73% of leagues. Tucker Kilcrease, not as solid a performance, but again, he's still got a pretty nice floor there. And then Connor Wiegman out of Houston, another great performance from him this past week, 35 fantasy points there. I forgot that I have a second page for quarterback. So there's Bear Bachmeier. And then the rest of these guys, Joe Fognano, we talked about him last week. He had another good performance this past week, 26 fantasy points against Rice there. Cale Helms, he was on bye this past week, but I keep mentioning he's got one of the safest rushing floors in the entire country. And I'm surprised he's still available in only 93% of leagues. He is a starter for Army moving forward. Daquan Finn is a quarterback that recently has gotten a huge benefit from Kenny Tracy going down to injury. Again, I don't know what is it with this coaching staff and the way they distribute rushing touchdowns, but it's like Kenny Tracy was getting a ton of rushing touchdowns, which was kind of abnormal for their running backs. So I figured that Jordan Brunson would be in line to get a lot of rushing touchdowns, and he just straight up hasn't. It's been Daquan Finn who's actually been getting a lot more rushing touchdowns recently. So if that's the case, go grab Daquan Finn. And then the last guy I'll throw out here is a guy above my 30% margin here with Kyren Drones. But ever since, you know, Brent Pry has been fired, they've been kind of letting Drones loose a little bit more. It is his final season, so it makes sense for them to just say, like, eh, screw it, let's take advantage of you. He put up 44 fantasy points against Cal this past week, just a monster game from him. He does have Louisville this week. That's a very stingy defense. I wouldn't love that matchup, but some of these other ACC matchups coming down the line afterwards, definitely very tasty and worth picking up Drones if you are in one of those leagues where he is still available. So let's move on to the running back honorable mentions. Like I said, we're going to start with the honorable mentions because I really feel like that is where most of the value is in running back, is guys that we've really kind of already talked about. We'll start with Kadarius Callaway. Not a great performance this past week, 7.6 fantasy points against Missouri State there. I think that given what we saw the last couple of weeks, I think he'll bounce back this week against Western Kentucky, who is 118th versus the run. I think he's in for, I think he's in, like I said, he's in for a bounce back week there. Rodney Fields is, God, so annoying. He was a DNP for the Texas Tech game this past week. No explanation as to why, but he just straight up didn't play. My personal theory, like I mentioned, I really think that Oklahoma State is just so concerned with just trying to get back to basics. And they saw Texas Tech coming in. They know that Texas Tech probably has the best defense in the Big 12. They just held Fields out because they're like, we don't want to risk our best player getting hurt against this defense, right? And because, like, if you watch Oklahoma State, they just laid down and died this week. And so I think this was like almost like a bye week for them, and the fact that they just showed up, took their lumps and left, and they're like, all right, let's move on to the next game here against Kansas. Kansas, by the way, 122nd versus the run, so it'd be a really good week for Rodney Fields to come back and get himself another 20 touches. I think that could end up being a really good start this week if he plays. Kendrick Raphael out of Cal, another great performance from him this past week. Once again, inefficient as hell with 3.5 yards per rush, but boy, did he get 20 touches, and boy, did he get 3 touchdowns. So if that continues down the stretch, you're like, I'm not going to argue. Like, the guy got 28 fantasy points this past week. He does have Virginia this week. They're 46 versus the run, so that's a little bit worrisome. Jordan Brunson continues to be a really good pickup. Again, another 20-plus touch week for him. Obviously, against Western Michigan, he wasn't as explosive as he could be. Makes sense. Western Michigan's got a pretty stingy defense, but he should get back on track this week. Let's see. Oh, Jakon Middlebrook is the last guy here. Again, another good performance for him against Old Dominion here. 11 rush attempts, 68 yards, a touchdown. He also had 5 catches for 53 yards. He's got Jacksonville State this week. Their defense is porous. They're 107th versus the pass, 175th versus the run. Middlebrook should once again be able to find himself in the end zone this week for, you know, another CUSA matchup. So now let's dive into a couple of these running back options that, again, just being honest, like, again, the new running back options this week kind of stink. I don't really love any of these options, but again, if you are kind of looking for some new guys, or if you're in a deeper league, there are some options here. And the first one here is Caleb Komalefe. When Cam Porter went down earlier this season after looking like he was going to be the workhorse back for Northwestern, I thought for sure that we were going to get a committee approach behind him. I didn't really know who Komalefe was. I know Joe Hyman was still sitting there, but you know, it really just seemed like that committee was where we were going, and Komalefe has proven me wrong on that front. Over the last 3 weeks, he has gotten the clear majority of carries for the Wildcats and has put together some solid, like, consistent weeks in terms of production, right? He's averaged a touchdown in his last 3 games, and for a team like Northwestern, who really does want to play that old-school Big Ten football, being the lead back is a great way to project some future production, some future consistency. I will say his upcoming schedule isn't great, but it isn't really awful either. All right, they'll be facing USC and Michigan after their bye this week. Those teams are 69th and 48th against the run, respectively. Not elite by any stretch, but also not, you know, Swiss cheese ready to be sliced. But I will say, like, Northwestern not being a doormat for their conference opponents really does help me believe in Komalefe going forward. This was kind of the problem with Cam Porter for the last couple of years. Like, Cam Porter was clearly the lead back for Northwestern. The problem is Northwestern sucked, and so, like, the touchdown opportunities just really weren't there. And while they're still not, like, we're not, like, looking at, like, an elite offense by any stretch here, like, this offense is still good for about 20 points a game right now. So again, we're looking at about 2 to 3 touchdown opportunities per game here, and their defense is really good enough that Northwestern isn't really going to be game scripted away from the run at any point, right? They're never really behind by more than, like, 2 touchdowns, which doesn't really force them to throw the ball in an inordinate amount of times. So I continue to expect that to be the case going forward. And as long as that stays true, I think Komalefe will be a great player to pick up and provide a safe floor for your teams. If your stud running back is on bye, you can just plug in Komalefe. Probably be good for about 10-15 points here. So Next guy up here is Davin Booth, the running back out of Mississippi State, rostered on 14% of leagues. He has been great recently, 24 rushing attempts, 99 yards, and no touchdowns on the ground last week, but he did have three receptions for 85 yards and a touchdown against Texas of all teams, which was really, really surprising. I was very, very impressed with Mississippi State and their performance against Texas, except for, you know, them laying down and dying at the end. But c'est la vie. We're talking about Booth here. Booth's been great the last couple of weeks. 22 rush attempts, 24 rush attempts in each of his last two games, averaging right at 103 rushing yards in his last two games and finding a way into the end zone in both of those games. He's been great. About 25 fantasy points in each of his last two games. I will say this is more, I'd be more excited about this pickup if I wasn't looking ahead at this schedule and thinking to myself that this is probably like this, his upside's limited going forward. He has Arkansas this week. That's great. Arkansas is a bottom 10 team in the country versus the run. They're giving up 213 yards a game against the run. Booth should be fine this week. I think he'll be great, especially if Bothwell doesn't come back. The problem is that the weeks afterwards, he faces Georgia and Missouri, two top 15 teams, and in the case of Missouri, a top 5 team against the run. They're like Georgia's allowing about 99.2 yards per game in the run game, and Missouri is averaging about 81.7 yards per game against the run. That to me just screams capping the ceiling, and you know they are going to rotate things. Shapen will get a little bit of run. Maybe Booth falls into the end zone in either one of those games, but I don't know if I really. I don't know if I really trust that. So this is very much me saying, hey, this is a spot starter for this week. And if he does really, really well, maybe you trust him against that Georgia defense. Again, Georgia, pretty stout against the run, but they are still susceptible versus the pass. So it's a pretty solid indicator that Georgia may shut down Booth himself between the 20s, but they're still going to be scoring opportunities there. Missouri's defense is just stout. They're really, really good. I'm actually, as a Georgia fan, glad we don't have to face Missouri's defense this year because, boy, they have looked really, really solid. That's a game that I think Booth could just get completely shut down in, so be careful of that one, but definitely week 10 this week against Arkansas, very much a solid spot starter. Last running back we'll highlight here is, as promised, our second Temple player of the day, and that is Jay Ducker, who is rostered in 13% of leagues, and this past week ran for 78 yards on the ground, and then also caught, is that right? He caught two touchdowns? Yeah, four catches, 23 yards, and two touchdowns this past week through the air. Ducker was a favorite of some during the offseason, and on the surface, I can understand why, right? He had been CFF relevant in the past during his time at NIU, granted that was a couple years ago, and then somewhat relevant at Sam Houston last year. He follows Casey Keeler to Temple, and despite Keeler not typically employing a workhorse back, it was pretty clear from preseason reports that Ducker would be a pretty big part of this Owls offense. And as I mentioned with Simon, I was kind of concerned by how good this offense would be during the offseason. And since then, as I said, those concerns have been laid to rest. And then my next concern was that Temple was returning players from the previous regime like Joquez Smith and Terrence Worthy. And I figured they'd rotate in enough to cap Ducker's ceiling when, well, they haven't, right? In fact, Worthy's left the team. Joquez Smith, very much solidly a number two back for Ducker. Ducker is clearly the main guy here. And while Ducker hasn't really been on fire throughout the whole season, like he's currently RB70 in fantasy points per game, his last 3 weeks seem to show that he might be turning a corner for the second half here, right? He's hit 18 plus half point PPR fantasy points in each of his last three games. He's had 75 yards plus rushing and one plus touchdown in every single game in the last three games. And then outside of the blowout game against Charlotte, Ducker has seen 20 plus touches in his games against Tulsa and Navy. If that trend continues, I think we're in for a pretty fun time as we enter the final stretch of the season. As I mentioned before, I don't love Temple's matchups coming up. They got East Carolina, who's 49th versus the run. Army, who's 42nd versus the run. But if he passes those tests, he could be a real difference maker, especially as we get into playoff week. So definitely worth a pickup if you're still looking for some help in the running back room. Let's move on to our wide receivers. And you know what? We just talked about one Temple player. Let's just go ahead and get the last Temple player out of the way. This will be the last one, I promise, guys, unless you count Peter Clark hanging out in the tight end honorable mentions later. Kajaia Holloway, rostered on 1% of leagues, and this past week, 15 targets, 10 catches, 85 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Looking back, this is kind of a guy I'm surprised hasn't made more noise in the CFF community already. Granted, again, like, well, no, his fantasy point performances have been solid. Like, he's only rostered on 1% of leagues. But just look at his last three games. Let's start with Navy. 11 targets, 9 receptions, 146 yards, did not find the end zone, 19.1 fantasy point in half PPR formats. Against Charlotte, 9 targets, 5 receptions, 85 yards, a touchdown, 17 fantasy point. And like I said, this past week against Tulsa, 15 targets, 10 catches, 85 yards, 3 touchdowns, 31.5 fantasy point. For those that don't want to do the math, that means this man over the last three games has averaged 12.3 targets, 8 receptions, 105.3 yards, and 1.3 touchdowns per game. As, like, that's really, really solid. And again, I'm surprised that, and again, this is on me as well. Like, I'm surprised none of us really noticed that he's become such a big part of this Semple offense. It could very well be because he only scored one touchdown before last week, and then this past week he scored 3 touchdowns. So it was like one of those things where, like, okay, I have to look into this guy now. But he's been the clear number one target for Temple. In fact, I looked it up on PFF earlier. He has now overtaken JoJo. God, I can't remember his last. I can't remember exactly how to pronounce his last name. I just remember it starts with an H. Anyway, he's the number one target for Temple right now. He's been on fire the last couple of weeks. He's clearly Evan Simon's favorite target now. And as we saw last year, that can be very, very important in this for this Temple team. So, yeah, he'll continue to be fed. I've already mentioned Temple's matchups against East Carolina Army enough, but especially in PPR formats, I'm really not worried about Holloway moving forward because, again, the volume here is just absolutely insane. Again, 12.3 targets per game. If that continues, he'll be just fine. I don't think I'm really worried about him any more than I would be your average receiver, and the variance that just comes with being a receiver in CFF. I think he and the next guy we'll talk about here in a second are going to be saving graces for teams struggling at the wide receiver position heading into the playoff portion of the season. Speaking of that next guy, let's go ahead and talk about it. Let's talk about Mr. Jeremiah Koger, wide receiver out of South Florida, rostered on 3% of leagues this past week. 6 targets, 5 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. It is always kind of strange when guys do start to randomly emerge in late portion of the season, but with true freshmen, it's kind of expected. But normally, when we're thinking about true freshmen emerging, we're kind of watching those, you know, big-time recruits at their big-time programs, and we kind of forget that, you know, G5 teams got freshmen of their own to develop sometimes, and that is the case with Jeremiah Koger here at South Florida. Like, during the offseason, we kept asking ourselves, like, who would be the Sean Atkins for this year's Bulls team? Like, many, including myself, favored Keyshawn Singleton, and, you know, he hasn't quite lived up to our expectations. Then we looked at, you know, Tennessee transfer Chaz Imrod, who I initially favored during the offseason. I thought he would be that guy. Then I kind of got talked off of him. I joined the Singleton train. And Nimrod looked like he would be that guy for a bit here, but then he got hurt. Now it looks like Jeremiah Koger seems to be that guy. After the Bulls' first bye week, Koger saw a massive jump in his snap count, going from an average of 14 snaps per game prior to the bye to 58 per game after the bye. Again, I always say, like, watch those bye weeks. Those tend to be times where coaches try to make some changes here. And again, Koger, his snap counts went up, and his target numbers followed suit, going from 1 target in 4 games to now 20 in his last 4 games. This man is on a full-scale ascent as a freshman, and I'm not entirely sure we've seen the peak here yet. Now, if you are doing the math at home, you heard me say 20 targets in the last 4 games, and you're saying, Jared, 5 targets per game over his last 4 games isn't something that I've ever been excited about, let alone you've ever been excited about. And, you know, totally fair, right? But what I am excited about, though, is his consistency. In the last 4 games, Koger has had 75-plus yards and a touchdown in all 4 of his games. He may not get many targets, but he sure is getting some very high-value ones. Outside of Nimrod, Koger is getting the best average depth of target on the team, and he's been very efficient in turning those limited deep targets into completion with a catch percentage of 5%. Absolutely elite for a deep threat option. Normally, I would consider anything above 50% to be average. Anything above 65% would be elite. This guy's catching it at 85%. Now, I am absolutely concerned that that isn't sustainable, so that is why I'm hoping we can see more like, you know, 8-9 targets a game going forward rather than 5. But even still, if you're going to bet on a lower volume option, this is exactly the kind of guy you want. Deep ADOT, high catch percentage, and the offense is in the top 15 points per game. Need I say more? Like, Koger and the Bulls, their upcoming schedule is pretty nice. They got dates against UCSA and Navy after this bye week, both of whom are pretty susceptible against the pass. Both UTSA being 81st against the pass, Navy being 117th versus the pass. So I think Koger's got plenty of big weeks going ahead. Again, I'm just hoping that he can ascend a bit more over that, you know, 5 targets a game, and we can get a bit more consistent volume there, just in case that reception percentage starts to drop a little bit. Next guy up here is Mr. Gabriel Benyer, the wide receiver slash running back out of Kennesaw State. He was a running back for Kennesaw State for a bit there. He has since transferred full-time to wide receiver, so no, unfortunately, this is not a cheat code kind of guy. He is rostered in 24% of leagues, so obviously you guys have been on this for a while now. He has been very, very solid. This past week, 5 targets, 5 receptions, 97 yards. Did not find the end zone, but outside of this past game, he has been pretty consistent in being one of the wide receivers to find the end zone pretty much any given week for Kennesaw State. This transformation that Jerry Mack has provided for Kennesaw State's offense has really, really helped out the ability for the Owls to become CFF relevant. His hire of Mitch Militello, who used to work under Josh Heupel at Tennessee, bringing the veer and hoot system over to Kennesaw State really has helped out these wide receivers immensely. None more so than Gabriel Benyard. He's not providing elite production by any stretch of the imagination, but again, just look at his last couple of weeks. 13.6 fantasy points, 15.5, 12.2 this past week, and that's just in half PPR formats. If you're in PPR formats, he is even more special. Or not really special, but he is even more playable. I think he's, again, a really just solid, consistent option, a great option to grab for these bye weeks coming up, because Kennesaw State's done with byes. They have games from here on out, and their games, they got UTEP this week, which isn't great for the passing game. UTEP's 23rd versus the pass, and they're more susceptible versus the run. Granted, Benyard does get quite a few rushing attempts per game. They love to put him on jet sweep, so that'll probably help him out a lot here. New Mexico State, 99th versus the pass in week 11, so that's pretty solid. Then Jacksonville State, I mentioned them earlier, they're 107th versus the pass. So, yeah, I would say that Benyard's got a really nice schedule coming up here, and definitely a great guy to grab and plug into your lineup, especially if your stud wide receivers are not available. So, next wide receiver we'll discuss here is Ronald Johnson, the wide receiver out of Missouri State, rostered on 0% of leagues. He, this past week, 13 targets, 6 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. Again, looking at a lot of the receivers we talked about, two of the three we talked about before this point already had sub 3% rostership on Fantrax, so I already found that kind of impressive that we can have these guys so late. But it's very rare I get to discuss a receiver who, according to Fantrax, just isn't rostered in any leagues. And Ronald Johnson, I think, is a guy that pretty much anybody can start grabbing at this point, right? Like, he's a transfer coming in from Stetson. He currently leads Missouri State in targets. As of late, he's been the clear favorite option for both of Missouri State's quarterbacks, whether it has been Clark or Bailey at the helm. But with Clark coming back at the helm, Johnson seems like he's even more favorited as a target, because if you just look at his last game with 13 targets here. Over his last 3 games, though, Johnson has seen 27 targets, which he's converted to 16 catches for 232 yards and 2 touchdowns. Obviously, we would want that production to increase a little bit. Again, we're averaging roughly about, you know, a little less than 80 yards per game right now. I'd love to see that increase, but you know, if what he did this past week was any indication, you know, he had 99 yards. Maybe that gives us hope for a little bit of increased production, especially if the volume continues to be there for him going forward. What is super nice, though, is this upcoming schedule that Missouri State has, right? Like, Johnson and the Bears will be facing FIU, Liberty, and UTEP. All three of them have secondaries that are 80th or worse versus the pass. Liberty, in particular, is pretty awful at 111th versus the pass. What's even better is that Liberty and UTEP are both relatively stout versus the run, both being top 25 against the run. That means in those games, in Missouri State wants to move the ball consistently, they're likely going to have to throw the ball. And that's just going to, that smells like a ton of opportunities for Johnson going forward. I don't know about you guys. The thing that sucks here, though, is that Missouri State has averaged only 18.7 points a game so far this season. That has ticked up slightly over the last three games. They've been scoring about 22.7 points per game the last three games. So I'm hoping that trend continues. I'm hoping with, you know, Jacob Clark coming back here that they're able to provide some more consistency on offense. But that's kind of the major drawback here, is I think the touchdown opportunities will be slightly limited with Ronald Johnson here. But I'm willing to roll the ball here. And especially if that volume continues to perk up here, I think that he'll be great for PPR formats going forward. So, last wide receiver here that we need to discuss is a guy that unfortunately we threw on the waiver trap list a couple of weeks ago, and I am not throwing Chris Moxley under the bus here at all, because I would have made the exact same decision to put him on the waiver wire trap here. So I'm going to take partial blame for this as well. But no, here we are a couple weeks later, and Parker Kingston has been an absolute beast for BYU. He's rostered on 9% of leagues. This past week, 13 targets, 7 catches, 133 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He also had 2 rushing attempts for 12 yards. Yeah, I don't really know what to say. Like, I was a little worried that, like, you know, we were kind of relying a bit too much on, you know, he was getting 5 targets, and then he had that one spike week of 10 targets. And I'm like, okay, well, if his average is more like 5 targets, then, you know, we're relying heavily on limited volume there. He's just going to have some massive blowups going forward. This past week, again, 30 fantasy points, just absolutely awesome for him. The next 2 weeks, though, he's not a great option. He's got a bye this week and then Texas Tech the week afterwards. Like I said, Texas Tech, probably the best defense, I think probably by a pretty good margin, in the Big 12 there, so definitely worried about scoring opportunities in that game. But then afterwards, BYU, I think, finishes the season with, like, TCU, UCF, and Cincinnati. I know for a fact they have TCU. Let me look up their schedule real quick, because that was the thing that really stood out to me, and of course, I did not write that down like a dummy. So just give me a second to look that up. Wow, nailed it. TCU, Cincinnati, UCF. I look at that. Just got to trust myself a little bit more sometimes. But yeah, again, I'll just say it. We were wrong on Kingston. He's worth a pickup, and thankfully, you know, he's still available in 91% of leagues, so you got a chance to go pick him up this week. I have a feeling this will be the last week that you're going to be able to do so. Let's talk about some of these wide receiver honorable mentions, and dadgummit, got to fire the intern for the graphics. We did not put up the logos. Ah, so unprofessional. But let's talk about some of the guys here. Again, Iverson Hooks, we talked about him last week. He was off this week, so we didn't get to see him again. He gets UConn this week, who is 71st versus the pass. UAB should be able to take advantage of that defense somewhat. I think Hooks will be having in for another big game. Jackson Harris, a dream matchup this week against San Jose State. San Jose State, very stout versus the run, 34th versus the run, but they are abysmal versus the pass. That secondary is absolute Swiss cheese, giving up over 300 yards passing per game. I think Harris and the Hawaii run and shoot system should absolutely torch San Jose State this week. And I think Harris will be a very, very big part of that, given his most recent performances, where, again, he's been averaging over 100 yards in the last three games. I would be shocked if he wasn't able to do so again this week. Cooper Barkate at Duke, again, slightly over 31%, but, you know, still available in 69% of leagues. So I think he's worth going to pick up. He's got Clemson this week. Not a great matchup, but, you know, Clemson is somewhat susceptible versus the pass, giving up about 228 per game. And then after that, Duke's got, you know, a normal ACC schedule. Barkate will still be pretty solid down the stretch. Jordan Hudson back on the week, back on the list this week. Not a good performance this past week. Only 4.1 fantasy points, but brother did get 10 targets once again. So the target numbers seem to be pretty consistent here. So I'm happy to say that Hudson should be pretty good once he gets past this stretch of pretty solid defenses against Wake. And he's got Miami of Florida this week. And then afterwards, things should be back to smooth sailing. So definitely a guy to stash and grab, probably for the playoffs. And then Cortez Brom comes back onto the honorable mention this week. Another great performance from him this past week. 11 targets, 7 catches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah, he definitely worth picking up as well. And then some more wide receiver honorable mentions this week. Amari Thomas, again, not a great performance this past week. Four targets, 3 catches, 25 yards. I have a feeling that that is going to be a fluke, considering the last couple weeks he was pretty solid. He gets West Virginia this week. They're 123rd versus the pass. I fully expect Thomas to have a bounce back week this week. Landon Ellis still hanging out there at 2% rostered. 7 targets, 6 catches, 97 yards 2 weeks ago against Old Dominion. As I mentioned before, James Madison has Texas State this week. There should be a lot of points this week. I think Ellis is a pretty solid spot start this week. CJ Williams out of Stanford, rostered on 25% of leagues. Again, not a great week this past week. They faced Miami. Good news is they get Pittsburgh this week, who's given up 230 yards in the passing game. Williams, I think, should be able to bounce back somewhat this week. Brandon Thomas returns to our honorable mentions after kind of being a little sleepy in the middle of the season. But, you know, last couple of games, he's had 10-plus targets again. 2 touchdowns versus Texas this past week, 76 yards. He seems to be back to it. And as I mentioned before, Texas A&M is facing Arkansas this week. We should absolutely... Actually, hold on. Am I correct on that? No, they're not. I would say they already played Arkansas. Who's Texas A&M playing this week? Uh-oh, Jared messed up the graphic. Or not the graphic, his notes. Oh, shoot, they're playing Missouri. Oh, well, no. Are they on bye this week? They are on bye this week. Okay, so I'm just being dumb. No, I'm being... Oh, my God. Why am I looking up Texas A&M? Yeah, Mississippi State is playing Arkansas this week. Yeah, I was talking about Devin Booth. What? Sorry. Such a brain fart just now. For some reason, I was thinking Brennan Thomas and Mario Craver were the same guy. They pretty much have been in some ways. Because, again, both of them got real sleepy in the middle of the season here. And hopefully things start to wake back up as we get going here. Again, Mississippi State, they're playing Arkansas this week. They're 101st versus the pass. Their defense is just horrendous in general. I think Thompson will be in for another big week. Last but not least, Braden Pagan, man, he has really come into his own with his Utah State offense here. He's still rostered on only 27% of leagues, so 73% of leagues out there are still available for him. He's got Nevada this week. Nevada, pretty stingy versus the pass. And obviously, I did not love at all what Utah State did this past week against New Mexico. Just an absolute stinker of a game there. Hopefully they get a bounce back week against Nevada this week, and Braden Pinkham will continue to be a big part of that. So, all right. Let's finish up with the tight ends here real quick, and I'm just going to keep it real with you guys. Like, I don't think there's any real new names here at tight end this week that are worth their own, you know, featured section. Our feature last week, Brody Foley, is now tight end 2 on the season. He's still unrostered in 71% of leagues. So, yeah, you absolutely need to go grab him after a 3-touchdown performance from this past week. Otherwise, check out the rest of the guys we discussed recently. Bowden Green, tight end at Kansas. Richie Anderson, tight end at Fresno. Peter Clark, tight end at Temple. Joshua Long, tight end at Eastern Michigan. Sam Roush, tight end at Stanford. All of those guys are pretty much in the same tier for me. All of those guys worth picking up if they are available in your leagues. So let's fully finish up here with some DSC streaming options. And I'm just being honest with you guys. I tried so hard. There are just not a lot of great DSTs that are widely available for you to pick up this week. And at least ones that are under 30%. But the three that I found were Kansas, rostered at 22%. They're going up against Oklahoma State. We're just picking on Oklahoma State every single week. Pittsburgh going up against Stanford. Once again, we're just going to pick on Stanford. And then Kentucky, a very stingy defense just in general, unless they're playing Tennessee where they give up 56 points. They're going up against Auburn this week, though. Auburn struggling to put together consistent offensive performances as of late, unless they're playing Arkansas. Arkansas, obviously one of the worst defenses in the SEC. So I'm not reading too much into that. I think Kentucky and Auburn will have a very low scoring affair. I think Auburn's defense is like 30-something percent rostered. So that's another one that maybe you can go tap into and just hope that this is a game that ends like 17-14 kind of deal. But other than that, again, just either the good matchups were already with DSTs that are highly rostered, or otherwise there just weren't really a lot of great matchups to take advantage of this week. So sorry if it's a little lacking on the DST streaming options this week, but I just got to be honest with you guys. You're going to be fighting over the same three DST options this week on your waiver wires. So with that, we have come to the end of our show. Appreciate all of you guys for listening. If you have not already, make sure you leave a like, a comment, and subscribe. If you're watching this on the YouTube side of things, if you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you follow the show. Leave a 5-star review wherever you can. Make sure you guys check out the rest of the Campus to Canton Podcast Network for shows ranging on pretty much anything you can think of related to the college fantasy football game. We'll see you guys back here on Tuesday night, where we'll be discussing some start sit questions again with you guys. Always love those live streams. Until then, really appreciate you guys and hope you guys have a wonderful, blessed week. See y'all.